We've been looking at seven evil spirits. Our main scripture is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, there's seven nations that's mentioned. Seven nations from mentioned. You may want to take your Bibles and look. And all these nations are long gone. They're no longer in existence. They're no longer there. But the spirit that was behind them still exists. Because that nation and culture no more, the spirit is still existing. Paul talks about principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So these spirits are still there. We did the first one. I think that's important that it's listed number one, because the Hittite nation was in Israel. Israel took the land of the Hittites from them because God gave the land from the Hittites to Israel, and that's the big thing going on right now. That's the big thing right now. The spirit that is beyond the Hittites that's still there. Hittite people are gone. The culture is gone. The spirit there wants their land back. And all this trouble and all this difficulty is coming from, I believe, one or more of these seven evil spirits that operate in the world today. Okay? And then verse 2 tells you that God said, here's what you don't do and here's what you do. Follow the instructions. Don't make a covenant with them. Don't get in league with them. They're not your friend or your enemy. Understand that. Understand that. And God said that in verse 2. All right? For those that like to understand where you get the idea of the land of Hittites, that comes out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. All right? And verse 4. It's right there. Okay. Now, let's do the second one. If you look again at Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, here comes the second one. Gershites. We're going to go through it, and you're going to see how this evil spirit works. All right. Now, these individuals are clay, C-L-A-Y, dwellers. Are they dwelling on earthliness? They're very earthly. They focus on earth and temporal things. They disdain from spiritual or eternal things. They hate it. Everything is earthly. The Bible's chock full of scripture dealing with this very subject. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Now look at this, 5, verse 1. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, that scripture right there is the Gershite spirit is exactly opposite to that. It's exactly opposite. It hates eternal things. Anything that's eternal, anything that is eternal under God, it hates. It fights against it. It fights against the eternal things, the valuable things, and focuses on the temporal, the now, the today. Let's live for today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Now, the focus of this spirit is on seeing and temporal. Things that are seen. This spirit focuses on seen, the visible. You can see that spirit in the world working. The visible. And people are influenced by this spirit because they influence to focus on things that are seen and things that are not seen, they don't pay attention to. They're not paying attention to eternal things. They're paying attention to the now things, the visible things. seen, seen. See, to discern, seen. They say, okay, it's in front of you. That's what you want. That's what you have to have. And see, to discern mentally, and the enemy comes in, this spirit comes in, and gets individuals to just operate in mind and being and emotion, thoughts of things that are considered to be temporal. Seen. Wouldn't you like to have that? Wouldn't you like to do that? Don't you like this? Don't you like that? Can't you see this? Can't you see that? To keep the mind thinking about temporal things. And see, you look at this and you consider this something that you can perceive, something that you can look at and look at. Oh, look at that. I used to sell, believe it or not, jewelry. I was a floor manager of a very large, very influential organization years ago. And I was working my way up to, I was two clicks away from managing the whole area. And so I had to, because I had to work with the whole store, I had to learn, you know, I got a job being a sports manager, sporting goods, tennis rackets and tennis balls and basketballs and you name it, golf. Just named sports. I was the manager of that and also co-manager of the camera department. So I work with cameras and I also work with sporting goods. But as I became known in the organization, they said, we wanted you to go and to become floor manager, which you're in charge of all the departments, working with the individual management in those departments, right under the assistant manager of the store. And it was a great job. I loved it. I did. And one of the things I had to learn was jewelry, which I didn't really want to do, but I knew if I ever had to go up, I had to know jewelry. That's diamonds and diamond pendants and the ruby and all the type of stones and what they are and how they work and all that thing. You know, the very expensive watches and you name it, that store sold it. And what was really interesting to me is that a customer would come in and they asked for a ruby or an emerald or a diamond or something of that nature, and I would have to show them the ring or the necklace, whatever. And I heard so many times, and it was an amazing eye-opening thing for me, that they would say, they get like a solitaire and they get married and that, oh, it's so beautiful, I understood that. But they'd buy cocktail rings with rubies with 20 diamonds around it. And we had the lights and it would sparkle. And so they would have the ring and they'd look at it. And I heard this. Oh, that's so beautiful. What it was. It was gorgeous. The stones were very, very good on the 10 scale. And this is what they'd say, oh, I would do anything to have that, whatever it was. And I heard this too, I would sell my soul for that. And that made me cringe. Lady, you sell your soul for a rock, as pretty as it is. And I would, if I could just get that, on and on they would go. And they'd perceive in the temporal. They perceive in the temporal. Nothing wrong with having, you know, a ruby or a diamond or a brooch out of emerald. Nothing wrong there. But it's the attitude in which I would notice. And see, what I'm saying is this spirit that functions is pro-temporal. It deals totally in the temple and con eternal. It never considers God's plan or will in decision making. A lot of Christians get influenced by these spirits that somehow they never think of or consider God's plan or will in decisions. Now, a person who is not influenced by this spirit focuses on what God wants. Focuses on what God wants. You can tell the difference. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have something or wrong to have a car or wrong to have the best car you can possibly have or be blessed by something like that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you cannot be blessed with something very, very valuable and very temporal. Nothing wrong with that. It's the attitude of those things. I gotta have, I must have. It's when you lose the focus of eternity and zero in on those things which are temporal. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. All right? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. 13. Which things also we speak, not the words of man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. All right, look at 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Here's 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. And then verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, let's look here. All right, let's go back up the page. All right, let's look at how a person is wired, how they're thinking. Look at verse 13. Notice what it says. Spiritual. Which things also we speak, not the words with man wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things with spiritual. Dealt and dealing in spiritual things. Now, this spirit hates this. This Gershite spirit hates this. Verse 14. But the natural man, I want you to see this. Listen to this. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. See, the natural man lives based on natural things. Natural things. But a spirit-led person based on spiritual things. And again, it's okay to have whatever. Nothing wrong with that. You know, there was teaching years ago that you cannot have anything. And that wasn't right. That wasn't right either. I think Jamie talked about something about that yesterday. And you can have something. You can have something. Now, drop down to verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Voice of the Spirit. Notice, instruction. Instruction. Instead of natural, they zero in on spiritual. Now, remember, the Bible is full of instructions. It's a book of instructions. The first instruction was what? You read about it in the Garden of Eden. First instruction, right? It was multiply. Go ahead. Don't eat of that tree, but any other tree you find, go and do what you want, but don't do that. Book of instructions. Now, instructions in the voice of the Spirit. And when you have that voice, you see what others fail to see. And this spirit hates it. And in 15, if you back up, little scripture, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is judged of no man. So therefore, this spirit has no authority over you. Authority of the believer. Don't you love it when things just come together like this under the Lord? Operate in spirit. You operate in spirit. You operate there spiritually. And what happens is, when you operate in spiritual, it goes above those that criticize you. You're going to be criticized. Somebody's going to criticize you, and unfortunately, you'll be people in the church. Hate to say that, but it's true. See, when you do God's will, you're going to be criticized by carnality, by Christians that are carnal. Their mind has never been really renewed. And that's why we're talking about what we're talking about, blessings, understanding, incorrect thinking. Now, let's look how to avoid being influenced by the Gershite spirit. James chapter 3, verse 13. Look at this. James 3:13. Who is a wise man that endureth with knowledge among you? Notice the questions. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. All right, let's look at that right now. Let's do the verses, Siri. See, mercies and wisdom. Ask yourself a thought. Are you willing to obey the voice of God over man's? That's verse 13. Number two, are you being led by the Spirit without regard to personal sacrifice or suffering? Wow. Let's look at 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Wow. Are you acting at the wisdom of God? Verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but earthly, sensual, and devilish. You see that? There's your spirit right there. Devilish. Devilish. That's that spirit that we're talking about right there. 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Again, back to that spirit. Back to that spirit. 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. See what's going on here? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now see, do you act in the wisdom of God? The Spirit tries to get you to function naturally in carnality. Naturally in carnality. Envy and bitter strife among you. Who's he speaking to here? He's not speaking to the unbeliever. No, he's speaking to the church. Isn't that a shame? He's not speaking to unbelievers here. How do you know he's not? Well, that's easy to go. Verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? He says, my brethren, talking to the church. To the church. So these spirits get involved with Christians. They have the unbeliever already. So why do they have to worry about them? They have to concern themselves with the child of God. So now we have bitter envying, strife, hearts. You lie, don't lie against the truth. Wisdom that cometh from the earth and sensual and demon activity. envying, striving, confusion. Wow. That's what's happening. That's what's going on. Isn't that amazing? That's this spirit in operation. So if there's somebody involved in that type of behavior, look for that spirit influencing them. It said it, didn't it? Look for that spirit influencing them. The Gershite spirit is coming, and they got their eyes off of the Lord, and it's on earthly things, and that generates all of the problems. I pastored a church. I went to a church that somebody says you need to go there and try to help those people. So Morgan and I, with the kids, we went there trying to help those people. We were there 5 years. And it was a great church. And the week before I got there, there was an argument among the people. And it was an argument over the color of the roof tiles on the new addition. And they argued, what color can we make the tiles on the new addition? The roof. And they got into a big war over it. Some wanted brown, some wanted this, some wanted that, some wanted the other thing, and the third thing, and off they went. Green, blue, whatever. And the Sunday before I got there, 400 people walked out of that church as mad as you could be over a roof tile. I don't know anybody's ever been mad over a roof tile, but there was 400 people in that church walked out. So when we walked in the next Sunday, I asked, wait a minute. 3 weeks ago, this church was packed to the walls. They were jammed up. Parking lot was full. What happened? And they told me. They walked out of a powerful church over roof tiles. Now, if that is not this passage, I don't know what is. Full of strife and envy and argument. Never gave me a chance to arrive. We're out of here. That's this passage of scripture. That's that spirit in operation in the natural realm. Isn't that incredible? There are 5 years. We put it back together. I can't even tell you the color of the roof tiles because I cared less. I never mentioned it. I never said, oh, by the way, the roof tile. Never talked about it. Just got it out of the way. And whatever color is up there, it was up there. And I just pushed that aside and we went forward with the power of the Spirit. Had a great pastorate there, a great pastorate for 5 years. Tremendous things happened in that church. See, this spirit in operation. Look at Proverbs 9:10. Give instructions to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a just man and he'll increase in learning. That spirit hates that instruction. Hey, follow the instructions and you'll be wise. And if you're a wise man, you'll be even smarter. See, fear of God, loving Jesus, that's what pleases the Holy Spirit. You see? You operate in things of the spirit realm. Now, the things of the temper realm hate that. That's what a clash is. That's what a clash is. That's where it happens. You see, they zero in on what's seen. Piano, carpeting. It's nonsense. But it's used by this Gershite spirit to destroy those congregations. And I wonder how many congregations have been destroyed. And here's what happens. In that church that had 400 walk out on me, here's what happened. Some of those people went back against God. Some of those people, in the 5 years I was there, didn't go to any church anywhere. They got back, instead of going to church on Sunday, they went to this. Instead of loving God, they went to that. They went to the bars. They started drinking and getting drunk. And I would see them in town. Hey, yo, so-and-so. Oh, Pastor Zimmer. How you doing? Good. Hey, I'm looking for you in church. I'll never go back to that place again. Right. And they started to go back into their old ways. They became very sensual, very evil. They would not be spiritual any longer. They just wouldn't refuse. That was that spirit in operation. One was so evil. His evilness was destroying the young people in that church. He'd go against the young people and he'd take them out of that congregation. He'd get them out of the youth groups and get them going to the dances and the honky-tonks and drinking a little bit and smoking and do all that sensual stuff. That was his job. He said that. He said, I'll destroy every young person in this congregation. Now, you tell me that's of God and you tell me that person is still saved. Nonsense. Nonsense, and I had to fight that for a while. See, it's in the mind. The spirit is in the mind. In the mind. That's what happens. The spirit in operation. See, question is, are you focused on what you can perceive and analyze with your mind? You think that way. You think that way. The results are not good. James 15, James 14, and James 16. Question, are you devilish? Do you step over others to get what you want? Is it look out for number one? Decision is based on benefits instead of what is going to glorify the Lord. Focusing on personal agenda. Focusing on personal agenda. That's that spirit in operation. Read about it again, James. We mentioned a moment ago. Willingness to judge without showing emotional or partiality. Sensual is soul. Soulish is emotions. Decisions based on those areas. Sensual, soulish decisions. Let me just tell you this. One of the worst thing that you can do is pray soulish. That's right. Understand soulish. You're praying and your mind's saying, okay, this is what I want. And it's so. There's a lot of soulish prayers. Be careful when you pray about soulish praying and not of God. That's why James said you pray and you ask amiss because it's soulish. Decision is based on other than what God wants. That's soulish praying. And see, it happens in the marriages. They ignore warning signs. See, it just destroys the entire order of the home. And it functions. So the enemy comes in and gets it in the emotions, and it becomes soulish. It picks things apart. It picks things apart. I don't like what you do that. I don't like your dinner. I don't like you do that. Can't you make more money? It just, whatever. And it enters into that relationships. Jealousy happens. It's just on and on. And you lowered the standards. One time, I met a young lady and her husband would not go to church with her. He would go to the honky-tonks and the bars and the dances wherever on Saturday night. And I talked to her. I said, you know, I'm so sorry to see your husband there. And she'd come to church. She'd go to church. And he would say, if you go to church, I'm not going with you. But if you go with me on next Saturday night to the honky-tonk, and we'll dance, have a great time. You don't have to drink. I'll do the drinking. You can drink Pepsi. Then that next Sunday morning, I'll go to church with you. She came to me and she said, Pastor, what should I do? I said, don't compromise your spiritual position. Because if you do, you'll regret it the rest of your days. Week in, week out, week in, week out. The Spirit was working in him. And it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Gershite. And finally, on this Saturday night, she says, okay, I'll go with you. And if I go with you, you promise me to go to church Sunday morning. He said, deal. So they went out. He danced with other women. He drank whatever he was drinking. She drank what orange juice, whatever it was. And he had a great time. So it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. They come home, and they're tired, and go to bed. Here, the alarm goes off. It's church time. She gets up and gets ready. He's still sleeping. Hey, come on. You said you'd go to church with me. She told me this in her own words. He looked at her and said, you have just compromised your position. I thought you were better than that. And since you went with me, I'll never go with you. And that's what happened. Lowering standards of judgment in favor of other standards. You see? You see? That's what this spirit does. That's how the spirit functions. That's how this spirit works. Let me hurry here. Let me throw one more to you here. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 14. Isaiah 32, 14. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and the towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses and pastures of flocks. 14 is 15. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. 16. The judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Here's 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace and effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Decisions based on justice, not on what a person wants. The lowering of the standards in favor of something other than what God wants. The growth process is stopped. That's the spirit of the Gershites. That's what they do. More on this tomorrow.